Welcome to International Dispute Negotiation, your guide to resolving disputes everywhere.
This is Mike McElrath, and this podcast is about different ways of accepting and managing the risks of dispute resolution, presenting them through the eyes of experts from different countries and backgrounds.
We have less disputes internationally than we do domestically, but those could be either in litigation in court in whatever jurisdiction we're in, or sometimes in arbitration. And we frequently would try to resolve those through either direct mediation party to party, or sometimes using a third party intermediary.
That's Susan Wiener, the head of litigation at NBC Universal. In this two-part episode of IDN, Susan and her colleague, David Berg of Universal Studios, discussed dispute resolution in the entertainment industry. That's television, film, and theme park businesses. In this first episode, Susan and David describe the sorts of disputes that occur in their varied businesses, how they are usually resolved, and particularly the concerns they have about how arbitration is conducted in the United States and the substantial burdens of discovery. They also provide their take on which methods of dispute resolution, court litigation, arbitration, and mediation are destined to grow, decrease, or stay flat in the coming years. Then, next week, they provide more information about mediation, their preferences for it, and the challenges they face in trying to get mediation started, especially outside the United States.
My name is Susan Wiener. I am Deputy General Counsel and Executive Vice President of NBC Universal. I head the litigation for the company, and that means overseeing litigation both in the United States and internationally. NBC Universal is a global company which has television operations, television channels and stations, as well as a film division, which both distributes films and produces films. We also have a parks division. We have theme parks both in the United States and internationally.
And David, you're a movie star.
Not exactly. I'm David Berg. I'm Senior Vice President of Litigation for NBC Universal, and specifically I head the litigation for the Universal businesses, which are the film company businesses and the theme park businesses, also both domestically and internationally.
So yeah, between the two of you, you've got films, television, theme parks, music, entertainment everywhere. Let's talk about the types of disputes. Susan, what do you in your world, what do you see?
Well, we have a very mixed and varied collection of cases stemming from very large multinational, international arbitrations, which would usually be a commercial dispute with another very large company, to very small cases, which arise from frequently we have an individual who's a claimant or a plaintiff in a case. The largest probably category of cases are commercial contractual disputes, both either domestically or internationally. But we also have many, many disputes arising from intellectual property claims. Sometimes that's individuals or even other entities claiming that they have rights to content that we've used either for a TV show or for a movie or even for a single photograph, copyright, trademark cases, or idea theft cases.
And you do a fair amount of, you mentioned arbitration, but also mediation.
Yes, we try whenever possible to resolve a case through mediation if we can. Arbitration is frequently a result of having an arbitration provision in a contract with another party or sometimes with an individual, or sometimes we will agree with another party with whom we have a dispute that we're going to go to arbitration as opposed to court litigation.
Right. And international, you have also a fair amount of international arbitration, international disputes that you've had.
We have less disputes internationally than we do domestically, but those could be either in litigation in court in whatever jurisdiction we're in or sometimes in arbitration. And we frequently would try to resolve those through either direct mediation party to party or sometimes using a third party intermediary.
What's the orientation right now of NBC Universal towards arbitration? Do you prefer arbitration, or are you neutral as to arbitration courts? What makes you desire arbitration over courts or courts instead of arbitration?
Well, it actually depends. I think there are kinds of cases where we might prefer to be in court. If we think we're going to have a dispositive motion, if there's something we're going to be able to get rid of fairly quickly on the law, sometimes a court is a better forum for that. It could be faster, and also, at least in our experience, we've found that courts may be more inclined to grant a motion to dismiss, to disregard or throw out certain claims.
To give you an early resolution.
Yes, to give you an early resolution.
And you're not fighting, you don't get that in arbitration.
We have not generally found that most arbitrators, sometimes an arbitrator will do that. In our experience, most arbitrators are less likely to really dismiss something on a motion to dismiss or something akin to a motion for summary judgment. Arbitration is extremely helpful when you've got a relationship with a party that is ongoing, and perhaps you want to have an arbitration as opposed to being in a court proceeding. Sometimes we've got sophisticated or technical kinds of disputes or arguments. Frequently, an arbitrator is going to be a much better decision maker than you might have in a court. Sometimes arbitration can be more expeditious, but unfortunately, we've also found in some cases arbitrations can go on for a long time. I think done properly, an arbitration is a faster way of resolving a dispute than a court proceeding. But sometimes they can go on for a long time, too.
David, what about in the film industry? Do you see arbitration being used much, or do you guys prefer courts?
No. In our film and parks businesses, the standard practice has for a number of years to include arbitration provisions in most kinds of agreements. That's been sort of the presumptive provision going into all kinds of agreements, rights agreements, talent agreements of all sort. I think that the advantages, I mean, there certainly are disadvantages. The primary advantages are confidentiality, and a lot of our disputes are can be high profile just by the nature of our business, and control. Control over, to some degree, the selection of the arbitrator as opposed to a random assignment to a judge, and control, much greater control over the scheduling process generally, over discovery. Discovery can be limited both by contract and just by the practice generally in arbitration. So we do a lot of arbitration.
It tends to be more contained.
Yes. I mean, there are particularly under state law in California. Discovery can be, there really are very few limits on discovery, on the scope and breadth of discovery, the number of depositions. It's unlikely that a court is really going to get seriously involved in evaluating the volume of discovery, and whereas in arbitration, it's typically much more limited.
Right, and you find that, obviously, with discovery, a lot of that being sort of U.S.-oriented, do you find internationally, when you're working in many other countries, that you get arbitration included in your contracts?
Not so much in my experience on the film side.
I think we probably strive to have that frequently and internationally, in part because there's sometimes greater certainty in an arbitration as opposed to if you're involved in a dispute with a party in another country, you may have somewhat greater concern about ending up in litigation in that particular country's courts. But we have had experiences in both places. I mean, internationally, since it's less likely to have, or almost never, to have sort of American or U.S.-style discovery, there are just differences inherent in even litigating in another country, which, frankly, at times I think is just an advantage.
Do you want that? I mean, is that an important thing for you to be able to have discovery in the types of disputes that you see, or would you prefer not to have the discovery? Or is it a wash at the end of the day?
I think U.S.-style discovery...
Because if you don't have it, the other side doesn't have it either. I mean,
right.
Where do you come out in terms of...
Well, frequently U.S.-style discovery is just run amok. So I think what happens now is there's just way, way too much emphasis and time and money spent on discovery in cases that... in the United States, which frequently doesn't really end up probably improving either the quest for the truth or the party's feeling that justice was done.
So, David, you're smiling. You agree?
No, I'm just thinking about, sometimes I think about, God, wouldn't it be great to be able to try cases like Abraham Lincoln? You just show up and you try the case. Now, obviously, the whole the volume of information is manifestly different, but no, I think it's hard for for U.S. lawyers to imagine a world without discovery. To be honest with you, it's part of what we do, but a substantial amount of it is wasteful, and it's the most expensive part of a case typically, And now, of course, with electronic discovery, it's you know, magnified by a substantial multiple.
Well, so for the types of disputes that you have, I'm just wondering if you were to take all discovery away, which you can't. I mean, there are some jurisdictions where there's no discovery. If you could choose, I mean, knowing that it would be taken away from you, but it would also be taken away from your adversaries, where would you come out if you could opt into one system or the other, a discovery-free system or a discovery-intensive system?
I hate to split the baby. I mean, my ideal would be some sort of compromise, and I don't know exactly how to accomplish it. I'd like to know what the evidence is, certainly what the evidence that the other side is going to present, but what the evidence is that the other side is deliberately not going to present that's right. relevant. On the other hand, there seems to be a need for some containment, particularly in this age of just limitless information.
Right.
I would opt for the no discovery model,
really?
Particularly because particularly because we are in an age of potentially limitless information. I don't think, except in rare instances, that having that exhaustive search ends up producing evidence that the parties wouldn't otherwise be presenting if they were put to the burden of presenting their best case. I agree with David, you'd want to know what was being presented ahead of time. But I had an ICC arbitration a number of years ago in Mexico, and the parties did have to exchange the information they would rely on. They did witness statements. The witnesses actually came and testified, so there was some cross-examination. And it was a very effective way to resolve the dispute. And I think if we could have at least more contained discovery, so it was more of that model in some of the cases that we have, I think it would be less costly, more efficient, and I don't think you would get to a different result.
We're at the end of 2009, a difficult year economically, financially, for everybody. Litigation in the courts, arbitration and mediation, just go through each one. In your businesses, how do you see the trends in the use of them? Courts, for example, going up or going down, staying steady? David?
Fairly steady, which surprised me. In the 20 plus years I've been doing this, I've seen litigation generally rise during periods like we had in 2009, and I did not see that this year as what I would have expected.
Yeah, nor did I in oil and gas. Mm-hmm. It's been pretty steady. Susan, what about you?
Yeah, I would say steady, except that we have had more collection cases, and where we've been the affirmative plaintiff in instituting
collection, going after debts.
Yes, going after debts, and we really engaged in very little of that kind of litigation before the last year or so, and so there's been an increase in that.
Oh. Arbitration, Susan, start with you. Arbitration, more use or less use or steady?
I would say steady, but the cost of arbitration has become an increasing factor, particularly in the current economic climate, and we've had some arbitrations which have gone on for a long period of time. We have one now where we're also now involved in an appeal from an arbitration award through an arbitral appeal panel. And the cost of arbitration has become a somewhat more significant factor in some of our matters. And I think particularly in the U.S., with an inclination to even allow somewhat more discovery in arbitration and to have more and more extensive hearings, when you're, unlike the courts, you're paying. Right. You're paying for the arbitrator's time. And I don't think that would diminish our inclination to use arbitration. We have it built into many of our contracts. But I think that we're going to start looking more closely at that. So, and the cost of arbitration, as everybody's under such great economic pressure, is a real issue.
So you're steady, maybe going down with arbitration. Or steady and you're taking a look at it.
Yes, I would say steady and taking a look at it.
David, what about you?
I would say the same thing. Steady, but there's a constant reevaluation of the efficacy and the desirability of arbitration or other alternatives, some combination of the efficiency and hopefully containment of arbitration, but also with some ability to rectify an arbitrator that just gets it wrong.
So the need for an appeal.
Yeah, but then, Susan's just talked about the downside of that. So it's I would just say that we're constantly looking at.
So steady, but taking a look to see. Okay.
I think that's true.
Mediation. Where are you guys with mediation, David?
I think we're also steady. I mean, as I said, we're, whether by contract or by court order or by just the desire to settle particular matters, we very frequently engage in mediation.
So it sounds like you're a pretty frequent user, so you would just expect that to continue.
Right? I think so.
Yes, and that would be true from my end as well. I mean, we would be steady and we'd continue to look at that as just an efficient way to resolve disputes and save costs. I mean, there are some cases where you know you're not going to be able to settle. I mean, sometimes the parties are either too far apart. Sometimes you have a principal issue or a precedent issue, so you won't be able to. But those are probably the minority. And so the vast majority of disputes are at least worthy of giving it a really, really hard look and everybody trying as best as they can in a mediation with preparation. Because I think unless the mediator is prepared and unless the parties spend a certain amount of time preparing prior to that time, and I don't mean necessarily doing a lot of legal work, but really evaluating the case and also what they're prepared to do, coming in with a clear sense as to what your parameters are, I think then a mediation can be very successful.
Join us next week when Susan and David return to IDN to explain the role mediation plays in their businesses and why they expect to see more of it in the future.
You've been listening to International Dispute Negotiation. This podcast is presented by the International Institute for Conflict Prevention and Resolution, CPR. CPR is a membership-based nonprofit organization that promotes excellence and innovation in public and private dispute resolution, providing an international resource for the avoidance, management, and resolution of business disputes. For further information about CPR, or to download archived versions of this podcast, go to www.cpradr.org. Questions about this podcast or the issues discussed can be addressed to idn@cpradr.org. The music of Note Noir is used with permission.